I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How has the pandemic affected the global food supply? That's the subject of a recent report by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. Their message is that while there have been very few industry issues so far, overripe fruit left unpicked, spoiled batches of milk left undelivered, that's only a taste of what's to come if there's an enormous global recession around the corner. I'm Chris Smith, and I spoke to Maximo Torero, the organization's chief economist.
It's like a box fight. We have 15 rounds. The first round was the lockdowns, which affected especially the high-value commodities. That means fruits, vegetables, tomatoes, and so on, because this sector is very labor-intensive, and they couldn't get the labor they needed to do the harvest. And also because it's very perishable, and therefore any delay in the logistical sector will affect delivery of food. The second gap is what really worries us, which is the recession that we are going to face, and that will restrict the capacity of the households to be able to purchase food. And why I call it this a box fight is because every round that we move could imply a knockout.
Who do you think is most vulnerable here then?
Most developing countries, especially sub-Saharan Africa, which is already too indebted, those countries are going to face significant challenges because they also depend on exports of commodities like oil. So countries like Nigeria, Libya, Chad, etc., will be really affected because the major source of revenue, which is these oil exports, will be restricted. Similarly, small island states, they depend on tourism 100%, and tourism is stopped.
So it's a bit like in the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. There's that line, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. There will be enough food, but the problem is that certain countries are not going to have enough revenue to buy it. So they're going to get hit and become starving as though there were a food shortage just because they're hard up.
Exactly. And we already have 55 countries in food crisis in Africa. A country like Peru that used to grow 4% and has a huge fiscal capacity is now in a decrease of 12% of GDP growth. Chile, Brazil. I think we need to be very realistic that we are in a very, very, very dangerous situation. And the worst that will happen is that we add to the health crisis a food crisis.
One other possible wrinkle here, surely, is that if you've got a country that hitherto has been a net exporter of food and they're plunged into an economic crisis, then actually they might not export as much. And the world does actually face a food shortage because of the knock-on effects and this domino effect.
What we are going to face because of the recession is the prices will go down. And that means that the producers will be facing a problem because they won't be able to sell what they produce.
You've highlighted quite a few problems that the world faces. What about some solutions?
So the first thing that we are doing is assuring that there are health protocols put in place for all the production of food that goes from the producer to the intermediary, to the food processor, to the food packaging. At all levels, we need to have health protocols in place. The second thing, which is really important, is that we need to find solutions so that whatever food cannot be sold can be used, for example, through food banks. The third element is that we need to take this as an opportunity to do changes that we couldn't do before. One option is to increase what we call intra-regional trade, so the trade within Africa, within Latin America. That could create a new demand.
And to take just a final, quite mundane example in the grand scheme of things, the UK, for example, has a lot of fruit that gets picked by migrant labour. Does this mean that my strawberries are in jeopardy this summer?
Yes, it is true that because of the incapacity of being able to hire migrant labor, only a proportion of what you have produced was able to be harvested. So we need to avoid those things. And that's why we keep insisting that it's important to keep the operations alive, but with correct health protocols. So migrant labor should be okay if you implement correct health protocols. physical distance, testing the masks and the gloves. And that requires, especially in the packaging industry of food, a significant change.
Maximo Terrero, the chief economist at the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. To delve a bit more deeply into both the report's recommendations and also its warnings, I spoke to Shyla Fennell, who's a land economist at the University of Cambridge and has also herself previously advised the UN.
It's been difficult to get food for all of us. In some parts of the world, this has been even more challenging because they are already food insecure. So in sub-Saharan Africa, in Southeast Asia, in poor communities, even in high-income countries. And we know even in the UK, the number of food banks demands on them have increased quite substantially.
Is there also the potential for a knock-on effect whereby we've got some countries that grow stuff that's high value, that high-income countries like the UK want to buy, that gives much-needed revenue to these poorer countries, and they then buy staples and other essentials with the money? And if we run out of money here, because we're also in some kind of recession, we're going to stop buying the high-value crops, which means the cash flow to these countries is cut off, and therefore they starve because we're going poor here.
That's the other side of the story. If indeed what we get is there are contracts already in many poor countries for producing food, which no longer is going to be honoured because high-income countries don't have high incomes, they can't afford it, there will be a collapse in the trade system. And that's a really bad idea. We need to ensure that we do purchase the current round of food. But if we look forward, and this is one thing the UN report on COVID says, and I think it's crucial, we need to address moving from short term to long term. We cannot go from crisis to crisis. So in answer to your question, Chris, I think it's crucial that we honour the contracts that we've made. But in the longer run, we have to think of a system that's better placed in managing food supply across the world so that contracts work to ensure food in a world where I don't think there's going to be a post-COVID world. It's going to be a world where we have to manage COVID in the context of climate change.
But if you're a government running a country that's now borrowed 150% of its GDP in 1 year and it's looking at an economic black hole, they might just say, thank you, but we'll file that under waste paper basket. What's the obligation of this report?
The value of a UN report is that it's signed up to by all countries. Their ability to pick up and run with different aspects, as you say, will be affected by their current financial crisis. I think there is a need to understand that countries in the global north should ensure that they work with countries where there are food crises. In that sense, this report does provide you a set of teeth. How you choose to bite into that problem, I think, is a decision for both global alliances, but also to engage with national governments where they can.
Shyla Fennell, who's from the University of Cambridge. And if you'd like to read the policy brief from the FAO, head over to nakedscientist.com/short. You can find it on this programme's podcast page.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.